Let us bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight. We pray for Thy presence with us, that Thou wilt speak to every heart from Thy word tonight, through the ministry and song and everything that takes place in this meeting. May it bring glory and praise and honor to Thy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We do welcome you tonight to our service, and we trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in His name this evening. Do remember, please, the baskets at the door for your offerings. We appreciate your giving to the Lord's work, and we thank you for those that give towards gift aid as well. Through gift aid, we have received another income from that of more than 6,000. We thank the Lord for His goodness and toward us in regard to the giving of God's people. Could I just mention the after church for youth tonight at 8:30? The danger of drugs, that's the theme tonight, and we trust that you remember that, and the young people will gather for that meeting with our brother Chris Killen after this church service tonight. Do remember, please, on Monday, the Little Sunbeams meet from 10:30 to 11:30, and then the Iwana tomorrow night from 6:45 to 8 p.m. for years 1 to 10. Tuesday evening is our missionary prayer meeting. Mr. Noel Shields, as home evangelist, will be the speaker. And do remember him. There'll be a presentation on screen and a missionary offering. And then on Saturday night, Youth Reach, the speaker is our brother Philip Harton. And again, he's speaking to the young people then. And the theme is mental health. So please remember that on Saturday evening. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10. The family worship 11:30. Continuing our lessons from the life of Elisha. Doors open from 11. And then the evening gospel service. And the subject, the most awful place of all. Do remember these meetings. And Naomi Wilson will minister in song in the evening time. Remember the season of prayer before the evening service. Do remember those who have continued sicknesses. Pray for them that the Lord's hand will be upon them. Let the Bible Speak calendars are still available for 2022, $3.50 each. These books that we've mentioned, Dr. Kearns, the daily readings, the proceeds go towards Deborah House in Romania, £15. Then this one on Reverend Hugh Hanna, £7.95. Great character in the 19th century in Belfast, of course, preacher of the word, and that's available £7.95. There's a list there. You can put your name down and get them later. See Mervyn Steenson for payments. I think these are all the announcements that we have to make this evening. We're going to join the singing of the hymn, Where Will You Spend Eternity? That's the opening hymn tonight. It's on the screen. This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? 256, keeping our seats as we sing together. prayer, please. Eternal, gracious and loving Father, we come to give thanks unto Thee for Thy mercy in the salvation of souls in our midst, those whom Thou hast drawn effectually to Christ. And we praise Thee, O God, for the prayers of years that have been answered. O God, in these past days, we rejoice in that. But O God, we long that others may come, those still in our prayers tonight. And we pray that Thou wilt effectually call them unto Thyself, that Thou wilt draw them with the cords of love to the Saviour, that they may know the saving grace and power of the Gospel, that they may experience the salvation that has been purchased by Christ, and know this salvation that is available through the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him. And we pray that tonight, Lord, Thou wilt call a people in this very building and through this service, Lord, to the kingdom of God. We pray that Thou wilt work in their lives tonight. Give them no peace. Give them no rest until they come to Christ. We pray that they may give up their sin tonight. They may give up the world. They may give up their pleasures. They may give up the things that they're seeking after, the things that they're searching for. And we pray that they may look to Christ and experience His so great salvation. We thank Thee that Thou art the answer. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt become the answer for souls tonight in this meeting. And we pray before it closes. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt remember this day of remembrance. We think of all who have sacrificed their lives in two world wars and in many conflicts since. Those in our own land who have given their lives. O God, we thank Thee for all such. We pay tribute to them. We salute their courage even tonight. We remember them. And we remember families bereft of loved ones. That Thou wilt give comfort and grace. Turn this land and this nation and the nations of the world to Thee. That there may be a move of God such as has never been known before. Across every strata of society. We look to Thee to come to help us tonight. Revive Thy church too. We pray for a reviving among our people. A stirring, Lord, in these days. A greater commitment to Thy cause. A greater seeking after God. A greater burden for prayer. And grant, Lord, that in these days Thy work will be revived. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask Natasha now to come and bring her first ministry and song, please. Thank
you. The dread of night.
For that ministry in song, and we trust the Lord will bless it to our hearts tonight. We're reading together from the Gospel of Luke chapter 16 and the verse 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Let us hear the word of God tonight. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was led at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, infallible word to our hearts. We're joined in the singing of another hymn. After the sowing of sin is all done, after the glory of earth has been won, after the sands of thy life have all run, what shall thy reaping be? And after we sing this hymn, keeping our seats, and Natasha will bring her final message and song, and then we'll stand for prayer before we have the preaching of the word.
Thank you.
Again for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts. Now let's stand for prayer, please, before we come to God's word tonight. Let us all engage in earnest prayer. Our loving God and Father, we come now to the preaching of thy holy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. In the closing moments of the meeting tonight, I want to refer you to the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel and to the verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The subject tonight is the memory that haunted him. Often we refer to those who have a good memory. They have that ability to recollect events through their lifetime. Almost, it seems, the facts are at their fingertips. Events of history. Sometimes we say, so-and-so has a mind like a sponge, as they're able to absorb so much information and call it to mind. Happy events, those times that they joy over. Harrowing and heartbreaking times that cause them much sorrow and much pain. Today and in these days, we have many painful memories of loss, of the tremendous sacrifices that were made by so many, whether it was nationally or internationally, or in regard to our country here in Northern Ireland. How sad it is when people lose their memory and they cannot recollect things that happened in the past.
maybe the distant past, more probably the recent past, and how difficult it is for those who are closest to them to deal with all of this. It is so heartbreaking. Yes, there are happy, heartwarming memories etched upon our minds, which as we recall them uplift our spirits and bring a smile to our faces and a spring to our step. But then there are these heart-rending things that break our hearts and bring tears to our eyes and a lump to our throat. As Abraham addressed the rich man here, who at this time was in a lost eternity, he was in hell. We discover in this text we have taken tonight, in Luke 16, verse 25, that he emphasized to him that he was going to remember certain things forever. What solemn words these were uttered by Abraham to this rich man in hell. He said, "Son, remember." And his memory of those things were going to haunt him forever. And so tonight my subject is the memory that haunted him. Three things I draw to your attention in particular. First of all, he would remember the life that he lived. "Thou in thy lifetime," Abraham said, his life upon this earth. The rich man would have clear recollection of the years of his life on earth. Although he was now in eternity, there would be no dulling of his mental powers as far as his recollection was concerned. He would look back down the corridors of time with undimmed view as far as his life on earth was concerned. It was a life without God. It was a life for self. And it was a life for sin. It was a life lived for prosperity and pleasure, but lived without repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. A life lived for the moment, for time and not for eternity. And many sadly tonight in Northern Ireland and across this world are living like the rich man lived in his life. Living for now, having no thought of eternity. And they will, if they end up like the rich man, have the very same memories that he had. And what a harrowing experience it is, and will continue to be forever. For there will be no relief or no release from such painful memories. Let me remind you tonight in this meeting, you who are still out of Christ, that is what awaits you. If you, like this rich man, die in your sin. The rich man's life was one of rebellion against God. It was one of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was one of resisting any thought of changing his lifestyle. He lived for his sin. He lived for the enjoyments of all that he could see and taste and feel in this world, giving no thought for the eternity that awaited him. And that's how it is with many. And perhaps with you listening to this service tonight. But now he's taking a trip down memory lane. And it wasn't going to be a pleasant trip. It was going to be a very distressing thing. a very depressing thing, a very disquieting thing. Providing no hope for his doomed and damned soul, how awful it was. You see, this rich man had a lifetime of missed opportunities. All of those years and all of those months and all of those weeks and all of those days and all of those minutes and all of those moments. Opportunities to give thought to his soul and to give thought to the Savior and to give thought to salvation. And friend, you will forever have memory in eternity of those missed opportunities that you have had in your lifetime if you end up in hell as this rich man did. All of those sermons that you'd heard in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church or other places, all of those messages of the gospel in song that you listened to, all of those gospel tracts you received, all of the witness that was given to you by your family or by Christian friends urging you to come to Christ and receive the Sunday school classes that you attended, the Bible classes and youth meetings that you went to, the godly example of godly parents and godly grandparents, friends and others in society who live before you, the gospel of Christ. All missed opportunities. And all of these will gnaw at your memory and cause you to be tormented in your mind forever as this rich man was. Every sin committed in your lifetime and unrepented of and therefore unforgiven will come before you endlessly in a lost eternity. And there will be no hope of repentance then. Or no hope of forgiveness there. For the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11, he that is unjust will be unjust still, and he that is filthy will be filthy still. You see, sin cannot be forgiven in eternity. Sin cannot be blotted out in eternity. It's too late then. The cry of the unsaved person will be like the cry of Cain of old. My punishment is greater than I can bear. And the cry of the sinner in hell is the cry of no hope. No hope. No hope. This rich man is without hope forever. And you will be without hope forever, my friend, if you die in your sin. If you end up in a lost eternity as he did. I want you to see, secondly, this rich man here, he had memory of the luxuries that he loved. You see, the Bible teaches us here that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. This rich man had lived for the good things of earth. And he had experienced abundant temporal blessings. Many there are who receive the temporal benefits and blessings of life as he did. Many live for life's luxuries as he did. The lavish lifestyle that he lived for. Look at verse 19. He's described as a rich man. He had riches. And sadly, he had his heart set upon them, as many still have do in 2021. Again, in chapter 12, verse 16 of Luke, you have the same words again used. A certain rich man, this time concerning the rich farmer. Again, he loved riches. He laid up treasure for himself. Again, in Mark 10, you have the rich young ruler. And the Word of God says in Mark 10 and 22, he had great possessions. And how many are like these men who are mentioned to us in Scripture? They're just examples of men and women and young people in society today living for money, living for luxury, living for a lavish lifestyle in this world. Nothing wrong with riches as long as you don't set your heart on them. There's nothing wrong with having some luxuries in life, as long as that isn't the be and end all of everything. In 1 Timothy 6:10 it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." This man loved his money. He loved his clothing. He was clothed with the best. The Bible says in verse 19, he was clothed in purple and fine linen, the most costly apparel of his day. He was taken up with appearance. It was a luxurious appearance. The purple and fine linen. The clothing of the rich people of his day. There's nothing wrong with a good appearance. A well-groomed appearance. But friend, it's not the outward appearance that counts. You see, the Bible teaches us that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And you can look well and you can put up a good show for appearance sake. But what about your heart tonight? What about your heart? Is your heart right with God? That's the most vital thing of all. What about your soul tonight? What about eternity tonight? What about God's salvation tonight? What about dying, my friend? What about where you're going to be in eternity? These are the most vital things. Make sure you have known in your heart the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man loved his finery. He loved his finances. He loved his food. The Bible says in verse 19, he fared sumptuously every day, and he gave no thought as to who gave him these things. He took it all for granted, as many sadly do today. He was so selfish, he wasn't interested in the plight of the poor man that lay at his gate full of sores. There he was feasting at his table. And there the poor man was famishing at his gate. He had food for his body, but he had no food for his soul. He was physically fed, but he was spiritually hungry. He was in need of the bread of life. And he loved all the things in this life. But he'd made no preparation for the life to come. And now he would remember all the good life he had on earth. But he'd nothing in eternity. He was lost. He was doomed. He was damned. He was separated from God forever. What an utterly hopeless state he was in. And yet he was a rich man. Say, friend, we brought nothing into this world, and certain will take nothing out of it. And here's a man in a hopeless state, forever and ever. He had gained the world, as it were, but he'd lost his soul. And what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And if it were possible for you to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul, what would it profit? Oh, my friend, tonight, where will you be in eternity? This rich man, he lived for the luxuries of this world. But I want you to discover also with you tonight the lessons that he learned. Now he is comforted, said Abraham to him, referring to Lazarus. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. He learned, you see, that Lazarus was comforted, and what comfort he was enjoying in the Lord's presence. And this rich man could see this. He saw Abraham, you see. He had his senses about him. He could see Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. And where were they? They were in the Lord's presence. That's where they were. Lazarus had all his life upon this earth been in misery, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Verse 21. His only friends were the dogs who came and licked his sores. As we would say,
Lazarus was a down and out. He was a beggar. As far as the world was concerned, Lazarus was friendless and forsaken. But now he is comforted. He's comforted. He's in the Lord's presence. The rich man had all the comforts of earth, but he had no comfort now in eternity. Now, which would you rather have? I know we enjoy our comforts in this earth. Nothing wrong with that, as I've said before tonight. But from which would you rather have little in this world and be sure that you're all right for eternity? I think it would be the latter, if you've any sense. The tables were turned as far as this man was concerned. And there he must abide forever. Nothing he had on earth, as far as his comforts were concerned, could comfort him now. He was left comfortless forever. And so will it be with you if you die without Christ. He learned this lesson, that though Lazarus was comforted, he would be forever without comfort. What a terrible lesson to learn. It was all too late for him to learn the lesson. Nothing could be changed now. Distress and despair would be his everlasting portion. And the Bible says here, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime," verse 25, "receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented." You see, heaven is the place of comfort, and we've been looking at heaven over many weeks. But hell is torment. Heaven is joy. But hell is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This man was already in torment. Look at verses 22 and 23. The rich man died and was buried. Verse 22. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The moment he died, he was in hell. The moment he died, he reached hell and he was in torment. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Verse 24, "I am tormented in this flame." The exact words of this rich man. This is a real person. A real person in a real hell. For hell is a reality. Don't you believe what the liberals teach? The deniers of the Bible teach that there's no hell. My Bible tells me there is hell. Hell is mentioned more times in the Bible than heaven is mentioned. It's real. It's real. And it's too late finding out it's real when you get there. As this man did. He's tormented in this flame. It's real fire. The word torment is used four times in this account here in Luke 16. It speaks of definite pain. He was suffering the punishment for his sin in hell. You see, God punishes sin. People think they can sin with impunity. But God punishes sin. The wages of sin is death. Oh, you may go out to the world tonight and into some pub or some nightclub or some place of sin tonight. You may think people are enjoying themselves, and they may be for a little while. But God punishes sin. God punishes sin. That's what the Bible says. And this rich man found that hell was not a place of pleasantness, nor was it a place of pleasure, but rather it was a place of punishment where the individual has to endure real pain. And this man was condemned, you see. And he was confined to hell's flames forever and ever. And the memory of what he should have done to avoid such pain would gnaw at him unceasingly and unendingly for all eternity. Son, remember. Remember. His condemnation and his confinement was unchangeable. He learned that though he could see Abraham and where he was, and he could see Lazarus and where he was,
He could not get to them. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And so there was no relief from this man, for this man. There was no way of release for this man. And so it will be for all who end up in hell as he did. He learned that though he could cry for mercy, there would be no mercy for him. No mercy. He could cry for mercy endlessly, but there would be no mercy extended to him. All the mercy that had been extended to him in time, the greatness of this mercy was no longer available for him. He was beyond the reach of divine mercy. And he learned that there was not even the hope of a moment's relief, as of the cooling of his tongue with the dip into the finger of Lazarus' finger into water and putting it on his tongue. Not even a split second. Oh, the awfulness, the dreadfulness of being lost in hell. He learned all these lessons, friend, but it was too late. It was too late. It will be too late for you, friend, if you end up in this place of eternal punishment where the rich man was. His eyes were open now. He lifted up his eyes in hell. His eyes were open, but it was too late to have them open now. And now his memory would eat away at him eternally. And the thoughts of what might have been and what the reality was now would be his forever and ever. But sinner, it need not be so tonight. If you will now trust in Christ and his atoning blood, if you will come to the Lord tonight and be saved, you need never go to hell. You need never be lost. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has took the punishment of your sins and mine upon himself on Calvary's cross as our substitute. He died that we might live. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you will come to Christ tonight and accept God's gift, then thank God you can be saved. And you can be saved tonight. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, will you come to Christ tonight? Escape for your life. Don't be like this man. The memory that haunted him and still haunts him for all eternity. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Thinking of the words of the hymn as we conclude, in times like these you need a Savior. In times like these you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds, grips the solid rock. The rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Come to Christ tonight and trust in the Lord Jesus. Remember the words of this. Think about the words of this hymn as we remain seated and sing them together.
spoken to you tonight, you're not saved or you're not sure, please do speak with us as you leave. We're happy to point you to the one who can meet your need tonight. Don't go away without the Lord. Gracious God and Father, we pray that thou wilt write thy word upon the hearts for every hearer. And we pray that some soul or souls tonight will trust in Christ. Bless a later meeting, we pray, and grant that young people will gather to hear thy word tonight, that thou wilt speak to hearts, and Lord, that thou wilt do a work even among the young, even in these days, for thy glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.